So this one is the most important understanding. How do we apply the understanding of Noble Eightfold Path to move on, to act, to solve our life problem? So basically, Noble Eightfold Path has eight path factors. That's why all these need to be cultivated. So the Buddha said, if you were to cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering, which means Noble Eightfold Path is the answer to all worldly problems, life's problem. And the first path factor is right view, or right understanding. Then the next one is what? Yeah? What is the next one? After right view is what? Ah, right thought, yes. Right thought. Then what is the next one? Yeah? Ah, right speech. Then? Okay, good. Right action. Then? Right living or right livelihood. Right livelihood, huh? Then number six is the four right effort, huh? Okay, right effort, huh? Number seven, right sati or mindfulness. The last one is samadhi, right samadhi. And samadhi is not concentration, huh? This one is collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind. So all these Noble Eightfold Path factors, you need to cultivate them, then only you can act. Then only you can move on and apply this. That's why this is a topic where most cultivators fail to cultivate. Even after you have developed the formal meditation or daily mindfulness, after you have insight into phenomena, awakened to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta, you still need to come back to cultivate all this. Well, that one is just to give you the direct seeing, the insight. That one is very penetrating. That one will let you have a lot of right view. That's why you need to have them first. After you have them, then this right view become very easy. Otherwise, you will be deluded. Sakkaditi will always be there. So when you insight into phenomena, you will understand what delusion is, self-delusion. Once you understand what self-delusion is, and you also understand the nature's law that governs life and existence, then you can act, then you can free. So basically, like the Buddha said, after you have developed the enlightenment or awakening, you will have these four type of conducts where the enlightened beings or the Aryas will possess. First, they will have impeccable or perfect conduct, right conduct. Then after that, they have upright conduct. Means they are very righteous. This one, their conduct are perfect, impeccable. Then the next one is they are very wise. That's why they have wise conduct. And the last one is dutiful conduct. They understand within the conditioned world, you have this right duty towards the law of karma. You cannot simply do things, even though it's non-self, anatta, not what you think. Not real, not so real. But there is such thing as law of karma. There is such thing as a human being, the five aggregate of form and mind, even though it's impermanent. You attach and cling, it leads to suffering. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity, that's why it is non-self, anatta. But right duty has to be there. So all this will arise when you have developed the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. But before you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, you have to develop mindfulness within the formal meditation and the daily life to insight into phenomena, to awaken, to enable you to have the direct seeing, to see things as they are, so that that penetrative wisdom that can awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta is there to support you. So this first right view is very important. Basically, yeah, we must go through as a revision. There are three types of right view. Spiritual aspect that the Buddha talked about under the Pancha Niyamas. The first one is, what is it? The law of karma, yes. So once you know the law of karma, you know that this is a nature's law within the conditioned world. The law of karma recognizes relationship, even though the ultimate realization is non-self, anatta. So this law of karma is very important. The basic understanding of this law of karma is through the realization that the Buddha has perfected. He explained to us very clearly in the five daily contemplation. He said, we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of. And that one refers to the human being, the five aggregates of form and mind, the living being. That one is not ultimate Dhamma. That one is mundane Dhamma within the conditioned world. So the right view is very important. To exist, to live life, you need to have that right view, the understanding. Then this law of karma is very powerful, is it? You are not born, not only born of it, heir to it, conditioned, supported by it, and you are what you are because of it. Your entire life depends on it. That's why you have to take care of karma. And how to do it? We have to avoid evil, all evil, do good, purify the mind by following the advice of the Buddha, Dhammapada 183, verse 183. So having this understanding, then we need to understand one more thing, which the Buddha actually taught us. Law of karma means moral causation, mental intention evolved. If your mental intention has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then if you act, speak, and think with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follow the hoof of the car. So this is Dhammapada verse 1. So in life, if you don't want to have suffering, then you have to act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And then happiness will follow you, like your shadow that never leaves you. So this is how you have the right view, not to commit evil, to avoid all evil. And what are evil? Whatever that has a three evil root. So related to what I share in the quote, whenever you are not peaceful, not happy, the evil roots are there. Means it will lead to suffering. Aware of it, be mindful of this. Then every moment in life, you will be sensitive. Once you see the evil root, once you realize your lack of peace, lack of joy and happiness, then the evil roots are there. Then you have to trace it through one. Through your sensitivity, your mindfulness, stability that you have developed. That's why when you have mindfulness, the slight movement of your mind, the mundane mind, you will be aware. Even the very subtle dislike or unpleasant or feeling of imbalance means not the equanimity that your mind has developed as understanding. That's why the right samadhi is the final power factor. To develop this, you need to have all this understanding. Then only this one can come about. Otherwise, it's not easy. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is not easy. Then the Buddha make it easier for one to understand. instead of just Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 with the evil root, very complicated. So what he said is, law of karma is about moral causation, the mental intention. So if your mental intention is evil, have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then you plant the seed of evil, is it? You reap what you sow. Do good begets good. Do evil begets evil. And that one will be another good guy. That's why whenever you want to do something, the precept will guide you. First precept, Panatipata Viramani Sikha Pada Samadhi Yami. What does it mean? We undertake the training rule to abstain from what? Killing or causing harm to fellow living being. To kill and to cause harm, you need to have evil roots. Otherwise, you won't kill. Without delusion, you won't kill. Without anger, you won't kill. Then without selfishness, greed, you also won't kill. So the three evil roots are there. Even causing harm is the same. So these are very important understanding that we need to contemplate, reflect, and stabilize all this understanding so that we can constantly cultivate the first right view, law of karma. We have to avoid all evil. Means we have to train our mind to be ever mindful, to avoid the five precepts first. Then we go deeper, go beyond the five precepts. We move into what constitutes evil. Means not only restrict to the five precepts. These five precepts are just major evil. Like undertake the training to abstain from killing. We add in causing harm to fellow living beings. Then the second one is the undertake the training rule not to steal, not to misappropriate, not to take things that don't belong to us. So that one is basically a general precept. But when you have greediness, covetousness, craving, desire, this one is also greed. Understand? This one is also part of greed and delusion. This one is also part of the second precept. If you don't have the refinement of mindfulness to see your subtle greed, your subtle selfishness, or even your minor conceit and all those things, means you can still commit karma coming at the more subtle level. So all these are the understanding and the training. Yeah. Then after that, we move on to the second right view, which is after law of karma is what? Right view in regards to law of mind, citta niyama. So citta niyama, you need mindfulness to see clearly how you function as a human being. How the paticca samuppada that the Buddha taught us function within life itself. Means every moment of sense experience, every moment of living, we need to be mindful, to be aware, to see this link, the 12 links. The first two is what? Abhijja paccaya sankhara. How do we see that? How do we know there's abhijja or no abhijja? First, we must understand, avijja is what? Ignorant. But people just stop there, not ignorant. Ignorant of what? Ignorant of what? Huh? The Dhamma and the Sangha, noble truth, the four noble truths especially. So if you don't have that understanding of these four noble truths, you will suffer. So that's why the Four Noble Truths is very important. The Buddha said you have to turn it three times, the three turning. First Noble Truth is what? He explained to us clearly the life, eight realities, means realities of life and existence. Everything within life and existence is never apart from that eight reality. And when the eight reality arise, without the Dhamma understanding, it trigger of suffering. That right view is very important. You shouldn't just believe what the Buddha said. put it into practice, investigate into it. That's why when you are mindful, you can see whether the Buddha is right or not. Yeah. So when you are ignorant of that, means like the first turning, this noble truth of suffering is to be. What is the first turning? Huh? First noble truth of dukkha is to be. Ah, understood. You have to understand it. Otherwise, you suffer without knowing that you are suffering. Understand? You don't know that this is the first noble truth, reality. That's why people are caught, entangled, even old age sickness and death, birth. They cannot understand. Then separation from loved one, choice, possession, things that you hold on to dearly. Then to be with people whom you don't like. When things don't go your way, when you cannot get what you want. All this can lead to suffering. Then in short, the meditative, the final, it reality. Where you attach and cling and grasp onto the five aggregate of form and mind, that trigger of suffering. That's why the upadana khandas, the grasping aggregate, is suffering. And that right view is very powerful. Then not only stop there, you move on. The cause of arising of suffering, the second noble truth, the Buddha said, is craving. Put it to test, investigate. What is craving? Means when feeling arises, if I attach and cling, do I suffer? That's why pleasant, unpleasant, light and dislike, all this lead to suffering, duality. You grasp, you cling, you hold. If I hold on to perception, attach to possession, crave for things my way, which is not nature's way, you want things your way, you suffer. So feeling, perception, yeah, the physical body or mental form, and also after that is your thought process, your activity of mind, your sankhara, your views, your opinion, your mental states, your emotion, your fear. If you attach and cling, you suffer. Then the last one is consciousness. Then you realize this five aggregate must not be grasping aggregate. The moment you have delusion, the evil roots of greed, hatred, it becomes grasping. That's why you have to develop all this understanding to free the mind from all this grasping that causes suffering. Then the third noble truth says suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana, can be realized. That's it. Investigate into it. Silence your mind and find out. That's why the third and the fourth way, the meditative way. Be with it, aware that it exists. Then you realize, yes, whatever negativity of mindset could be anger, hatred, fear, insecurity, or panic attack, or whatever. When you are aware, be with it, exists. Then you realize these are dependent, originating, condition arising, not a reality. That's how you're free. So all this can lead to a lot of understanding. Then the fourth noble truth is there is a path. If you cultivate this path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. That's why this second right view is very powerful. Right view regards to citta, your mind, citta niyama, how you function as a human being. Then the third right view is right view regards to the Dhamma, the four noble truths, which I explained. They are all interconnected and related. Now you see. So because of that, once you have developed this right view, when you meditate, your mindfulness and awareness will make you sensitive and you will see the link. Then you will come to know, no wonder, avijja. Before you know the four noble truths, you get yourself entangled. Clear enough? Your suffering, your like, dislike, your duality, your fear, your whatever memory accumulated, your views, opinion, condition, all this come from where? Come from your lack of the Dhamma understanding. That's why you accumulated all this. And from there you act. That's why acting according to memory is not acting. Then you realize every time you go to the memory, there is avijja, wrong view, ignorant. That's why avijja, paccaya sankhara. When you think without the right view, you create wrong thought. You understand? Your habitual tendency, your defilement, all this surface. Because what you accumulate in your memory are a lot of negative tendency. Your phobia, your fear, your insecurity, your wrong view, your belief system, everything. Even your society. So all this contribute to the wrong thought. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara. Then you realize every time you think according to that, you create suffering. Then how should you think? How should you act? That's why the Buddha said, acting according to memory. Oh, sorry, this is what Krishnamurti said. Acting according to memory is not acting. He said, act according to Noble Eightfold Path. When you have all this right view, it prevents you from going to the memory. You understand? Because you have this understanding already. Why do you need the old memory that has given you so much trouble to live life? That's why you use this right understanding or right view to live life. The Four Noble Truths. From there, you go to the second turning, the third turning. Yeah. So first turning is proclamation of truth. Then second turning, this Noble Truth is to be understood, especially the first Noble Truth. Then after you have developed the second turning, the third turning is this Noble Truth or Dukkha has been understood, means all the eight reality you have investigated into it, you have realized it. Then the second Noble Truth, cause of suffering, you have abandoned it or severed it. Yeah. Then the third Noble Truth, you have actually realized it. Oh, sorry, before you realize it, cultivated it. Then the fourth Noble Truth also say, the Noble Eightfold Path is to be cultivated. That have been cultivated. Is to be realized, the third Noble Truth that has been realized. So all this, once you have finished the three turning, your right view has been perfected. Then you can see the movement because you have mindfulness developed. Avijja paccaya sankhara. You no longer go to the brain, then you realize when you act according to Dhamma understanding, following Noble Eightfold Path, then you realize it does not stir like before. Like law of karma, law of mind. The untrained mind think a lot, restless, natural, I accept. I don't panic, I don't worry, I don't, like Chiu Po Lien last Tuesday, he go to retreat, he complained. He said a lot of thought, worse than when she was at home. Why? It's because she doesn't understand, she didn't relax, she didn't train, and all this right understanding is not there. That's why when you have all this right understanding, you act according to this right understanding, then you realize your mind is always tranquil, at peace. Because acceptance, right view allow you to accept the reality. Like the Buddha said, law of karma, born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditions, you are what you are. So whatever that happened, there are causes and conditions behind me. Most likely it's karma. If it's karma, what must you do? You must do what you have to do. You have to act accordingly, based on understanding. Miss, if I need to ask for forgiveness, I ask for forgiveness. Understand? Then I make aspiration for repentance, not to do it again. Understand? So repentance and asking for forgiveness is the most important. Then after that, I start to follow the advice of the Buddha. To cultivate according to Noble Eightfold Path. Means avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. Once the right view is there, the wrong view and the evils are not there. Then to cultivate right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood or living become relatively easy. Right view condition right thought. We are without evil root. And you condition right speech, right action. So this one, you can simplify it into right communication skill. the way you communicate with people. So this skillful way of communicating with people without negativity of the evil root, you have to learn to cultivate it. You have to develop it through your own life experience and encounter. So all this I have taught you all before. So you go back and listen to the whole recording, then you will understand. Then when it comes to living, it's very easy. You live following Noble Eightfold Path. Understand? Then you won't go wrong. Then right, for right effort also I have taught you all. Whenever you are mindful, if the wrong thought has arisen, right effort to abandon it. Understand? Then after you have developed the wisdom, the moment you are aware, it cannot come out already. Because the second turning of the Four Noble Truths is understood. Then when you have understood that, you can have the right effort. Actually, it's not an effort. It's the wisdom that frees you to prevent it from arising. The wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action. Because automatically, when you have the wisdom, understanding, it cannot arise. It will cease. But you must have mindfulness. That's why mindfulness is very important. So the third right effort is the right speech, right action, and right thought that are still not in you, or right living, right livelihood, they're still not in you. Cultivate it. Then the fourth right effort is to refine upon it, perfect it. Understand? Then this sati, mindfulness, right sati and right mindfulness is cultivating the four foundation of mindfulness here. So here, cultivating four foundation of mindfulness. Four foundation of mindfulness. Then once you have all this understanding, the samadhi will be there. Yeah, this is a wisdom factor. The right samadhi born of wisdom is equanimity, the last enlightenment factor. So this is how you develop it. Then the 12 link, you will see it very clearly. How avijja paccaya sankhara, every time you act according to memory, avijja is there. You act according to Dhamma way, following Noble Eightfold Path, no avijja. That's how you free. You can accept because, like the Buddha said, whatever that arises, there are causes. And so no matter what happened to you in life, very likely is related to karma. So first thing first is to ask for forgiveness. Then vow not to repeat all this. Then repent. Then the second one is follow the advice of the Buddha to reverse all this wrong action, wrong speech, wrong thought, all this, to avoid all evil, to go and meditate, to purify your mind, to develop this Noble Eightfold Path. Once you do this, your parami, your merits, your blessings, your wisdom will be enhanced. You will be perfected. Then this can give rise to a lot of causes and conditions for you to reverse whatever coming. Problem. That's why the third support is after you have cultivated this, we are following the advice of the Buddha, you can invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for you to break free from this whatever karmic negativity, or for you to recover from your whatever disease, sickness, or your problem. So all these are understanding that can lead to very beautiful way of resolving your life problem. Understand? So that you can act and move on with your life. So this aspect, last time I didn't have the time to go in because it's a very big topic. But now you are able to see how it connects up all the teaching. That's why last time I already told you all, if you finish whatever form of meditation is not enough. You have to come back to the Noble Eightfold Path. This is the fourth Noble Truth. If you don't cultivate this, you will not develop the enlightenment that the Buddha talked about. Because without Noble Eightfold Path, you cannot have these four conduct or qualities. Especially right duty. Wise conduct maybe you already have, but upright and good conduct very difficult. We are without Noble Eightfold Path Factor, very difficult. The formal meditation and the daily mindfulness can only give rise to wisdom initially. Then this Noble Eightfold Path, you have to cultivate until it becomes a part of you. That is how you meditate, develop the cultivation. And this is the full spectrum, full range of cultivation. Okay?